So we're in batch number three now. We've got four more news stories for you, and my headlines coming up are council pledge after nuisance neighbour had 17 living in one Tunstall flat, and the Staffordshire Village school that children say is like being part of a family. And Teresa has coming up for you.
Long-term market traders encourage shoppers back into once booming market stalls. And I've got taxpayers, Staffordshire Police Chiefs, 81,000 pound salary.
Okay. So my first story for you now is council pledge after nuisance neighbour had 17 living in one Tunstall flat. A council has pledged to take action against nuisance neighbours after 18 people were living in one trouble-plagued flat in Stoke-on-Trent. Stoke-on-Trent Live reported how a closure order had been imposed on the property in Sunnyside Avenue, Tunstall, after the address became a hub for antisocial behaviour. It means anyone other than the landlord entering the flat in the next 3 months will be committing an offence. Stoke-on-Trent City Council and Staffordshire Police had applied for the order after residents raised concerns about what was happening there. Issues included the tenants being in the throes of an addiction with drug deals conducted through a window. One neighbour claimed the tenant had as many as 17 people at the address at one time. The authority has now confirmed that it will be taking standalone tenancy enforcement action with the aim to further eradicate the impact that this property's had on the local community. Councillor Majid Khan, Cabinet Member for Community Safety and Resilience, said, "We know the issues with the property that were having a negative impact on the community and we took action. Everybody should be able to feel safe in their local area, and we're committed to ensuring that we tackle any type of antisocial behaviour. And swiftly and successfully with partners. This case is just another example of how we are reclaiming the streets and building a safer, stronger and more confident city for everybody. The property has since been boarded up." Sergeant Chris Gifford from Stoke North Local Policing Team, the LPT, said this order will be policed rigidly, with anybody not adhering to the mandates of the court being dealt with in accordance with the powers and this closure gives. "We will continue to take action against those who engage in any antisocial behaviour across the town and cities as proactively as possible with our partners. I would encourage anyone experiencing issues with this type of offence to get in touch with us by calling 101 or through the live chat facility on the website. Any residents who are suffering antisocial behaviour in the area are encouraged to report their concerns to the council by calling 01782 234 234 or online at www.stoke.gov.uk/ASB, which is antisocial behaviour. So, over to Teresa now, who's going to do her next story for you in batch number three.
So, I'm loving this story just simply because I use long-term market on a regular basis. So, here we go. Traders are urging shoppers to visit their shops at a falling short market hall within the six towns. Light footfall in long-term market is making it difficult for traders to earn a living. So Stoke-on-Trent Live wanted to give them an opportunity to showcase their businesses in the hope of drawing in customers. Many shops have opened in Longton Market this year alone, including Polka Bakery, Jill's Avon and Flashback Toys and Games. Some traders such as A-Up Me Duck have been situated in a market for more than a year. Yet many Longton shoppers don't seem to visit the market and so haven't noticed the shops popping up. Kakpa Serafin is the owner of Polka Bakery, which sells freshly made breads, cakes and pastries that you'd usually find in a traditional Polish bakery. The brand supplies its freshly baked goods across different locations in Stoke-on-Trent, Staffordshire and Cheshire. Kakpa said, "We opened inside Longton Market on March the 29th this year and we've been very busy and we've had very positive feedback from people. I was walking around to other businesses with samples, so people knew what we'd be selling. People loved it and they were cheering. We have almost 40 different types of bread, more than 20 different sweet pastries and over 40 different cakes. Whatever can be found from confectionery in Poland can be found here. For me, the main thing is spreading awareness of Polish traditional street food, such as people calling drodzowka Danish pastries, but it's not Danish, it's Polish. We have some Polish regulars who own businesses and buy from us, often for their employees to try. A lot of people ask us to choose a selection for them so they can try it and find out what they like for their next orders. The Polka Bakery also has seating inside Longton Market for up to 30 people, with tea and coffee being also available to buy. To find out more, visit Polka Bakery on Facebook and Instagram. Lynn Dawson is the owner of Ayup Miduk in Longton Market. She said, "I've been here a year and I'm concentrating on the wooden stuff, such as wooden ducks and animal ornaments now. I do it more as a hobby than a business, but Longton is a really nice place. A bit of modernisation wouldn't go amiss, such as better shutters and lighting, and perhaps more restaurants or a bar for people to have a drink at. I think that would bring more people in. I love the people and meeting new customers, but it's very quiet, which is a shame because Longton Market has such potential. People say, 'We didn't know you were here,' and that the market used to be rammed and you needed a waiting stall. I tend to get the same people every day who tend to come to meet for coffee or to go to the butchers and visit me as they're passing through." Lee Thomas owns Flashback Toys and Games, which is his very first business and is cash only. He said, "I opened it about a month ago. I sell games and toys, pre-loved and new. I have a range of retro and newer stuff, such as old Games Boys and Game Boy games. I also sell wrestling figures and pin badges. Basically, stuff you get into as a kid and transition as you get older, such as Pokemon cards and Harry Potter memorabilia, those sort of things. It's good for the environment, it saves things from going to landfills. I always wanted to open my own shop because I worked at the same old place for 16 years from when I was an apprentice, and I wanted to be my own boss and do my own thing. I do enjoy being in Longton, but it needs more footfall." Jill Wolliscroft is the owner of Jill's Avon. She said, "I started in November last year. All the products sold here are from Avon. I originally inquired about doing a pop-up store because I did Avon for 7 years, but mainly to friends and family. Then I expanded because I took on two other ladies round, so I was getting bigger and bigger from 2 years ago. Then I had another round given to me and I had that much stock it took up my spare room. I do door knocking and delivering because I'm useless online. I had so much interest from brochures that I decided to start here. Longton Market is good, we all get on well and look after each other's stores if we need to pop out. I love it. Who'd have thought I'd be starting my own business at the age of 61? Cards are accepted here and I offer blue light discount. One of my most popular items is the Brown Booster Brow Filler. I have special offers available and I'll be doing hampers for Christmas. Longton Market is open Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays from 9 until 5 a.m. One thing I'll mention is, if anyone's interested, there's a charity store where the youngsters sit there making things for them. It's the same people who have got the cafe in Longton Park, and their stuff is always really cheap because it's just to keep them occupied and it covers what they're making. So go on into Longton Market and have yourself a nice drink and a cup of tea.
I've not been there for a while. I'll have to go and a bit of investigation. I think it was about a year ago, so I'll have to go and have a look. They used to have a very nice oatcake stall in the market. Mm-hmm. Don't know if it's still there. Right, my final story for you now in batch number 3 is the Staffordshire Village School that children say is like being in a family. A village school described by its children as like being in a family has been rated good by Ofsted, Bollest and C of E Roman Catholic First School, recently underwent a 2-day inspection by the Education Watchdog. The school was previously judged to be good following inspections back in 2014 and 2018. The recently published Research report states that pupils feel happy and safe in this small, friendly school. They flourish because of the school's high expectations and the support they get from staff. Pupils believe in themselves, have positive attitudes, and have good relationships with each other, reflecting the school's values of family, friendship, and faith. Parents and carers are happy with the school nearby, or would recommend it to others. Pupils behave well and they're confident and articulate. They take pride in their work and are helping others. They say that school is like being a part of a family. They treat each other well and usually resolve any disagreements without any fuss. The school has an ambitious vision for its pupils. Staff share a mission that all pupils should let their light shine, and they have worked hard to improve the quality of education since their last inspection. A new curriculum is in place, which is mostly being taught well, and staff support pupils, including those pupils with special educational needs or disabilities. The effective work with outside agencies further supports vulnerable pupils. A rich variety of experiences promotes children and pupils' wider development, and these include community activities, workshop assemblies, a forest school, clubs, and trips. It adds that pupils attend school regularly and the school works closely with parents and carers of pupils whose attendance is irregular. As a result, attendance in the school is higher than the average for all primary schools. Leaders take regular accounts of parents' views and they are supported carefully by an ambitious and capable governing body. The governing body carries out its duties effectively. Areas for improvement noted in the report related to more guidance or reminders being given to older pupils about how to write accurately, and the school taking steps to ensure that subject leaders review the teaching of foundation subjects alongside the planned review of curriculum content in order to establish any next steps needed to help pupils achieve further. So over to Teresa, who's going to do the final story for us in Batch 3.
This is about the taxpayers querying the Staffordshire Police Chief's salary. Staffordshire's crime czar has been asked if he would take just under a fifth of his salary of more than £81,000, in line with the low turnout of voters at May's Police, Fire and Crime Commissioner election. The May the 2nd poll saw the lowest turnout since the first Commissioner election in 2012 and prompted a question on Ben Adams' mandate to represent Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent. Conservative candidate Ben Adams secured a second term in office after receiving 73,500 votes. That was 45.6%. His nearest rival, Labour's Alistair Watson, gained 70,128, 43.5%, while Alex Sandiford, the Liberal Democrat, received 17,666 votes. But fewer than one in five people across Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent took part in the election, down from 28.9% turnaround recorded in 2021, and more than 2,055 ballot casts were rejected. Now, Mr. Adams has answered a question put to him by a member of the public about the turnout and his salary, which is £81,400, according to the PFCC website. Mrs. Mallinder said voter turnout was just 15% in Stoke-on-Trent, 19.7% in Newcastle. Overall turnout was just 19%, she added. She asked, given the low voting turnout, doesn't that raise embarrassing questions about you having a mandate and actually being representative of the area you have powers over? Will you be taking 19.2% of your salary in line with the actual percentage of votes you have received? Mr. Adams, speaking at Monday's Police and Fire and Crime panel, said, I guess that's a challenging question that on one hand I was a bit disappointed to see, but on the other hand, I think she asks a fair question. My own view about the mandate is more people voted for me to continue with confidence that I would do a good job than voted against me to do that. I was perfectly comfortable with the outcome. where there's a low turnout, as long as that's folk who are paying the most attention, interest and concern for their local communities, then that's a very informed mandate, and I'm comfortable with that too. Previous PFCC elections tallied with the county council elections as well, and I think it was about 10% higher. So it's lower numbers, but 30% is typical for most local elections, or probably less. I don't think there's been a question to suggest that the local councillors and other representatives operate at a full capacity, but at a third of their income. That is not appropriate. Similarly, we are likely to see maybe only 50 or 60% in the upcoming general election as well. I'm comfortable that there is a mandate. I absolutely intend to use it, and it's 100% effort from me, even if it is just a 19.2 turnout. I think people are not as enthusiastic about politics at the moment as they have been in the past. That, I would suggest, was a low point in turnout. Hopefully in the future we're going to see more and more people backing every election in Staffordshire to a greater degree. Panel Chairman Councillor Bernard Peters said, "If I may say, on behalf of the questioner, this panel will hold you to account, but whilst holding you to account, we are also here to support you. We will expect value for money, and you know that is the pathway we will follow. If there are any areas of concern that spark any questions similar to the ones you have shared with us, we'll be onto that straight away."
So many thanks for that. Keep listening for the final batch with myself and Teresa coming up with four more news stories.